The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Hour number two with Matt Brown and Kelly Bidlin on the desk for Gil this week as he goes and enjoys a little bit of time off, rest and relaxation after a long and arduous NFL season. I hope to get some rest and relaxation somewhere along the way as well. We do get some tweets here on the show, and John says, one thing to keep in mind, handicapping the NFL draft, the Dolphins did lose their first-round pick, so only 31 first-round picks, yes. So when we do get the over-unders that get posted, now those typically are going to be posted first week of March at some of the books, then some of the books will kind of copy the numbers that get posted by the early goers. And so, you know, really most of the books, probably like second week of March, will have some sort of over-unders getting posted on that. Just remember that there is one fewer pick. And so when there's one less pick, Kelly, that, you know, that does change some of the math of, you know, will there be more offensive players or defensive players or, you know, corners or this, that, and the other, et cetera, et cetera. So there's, you know, one fewer pick in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, almost every player position total, right, is you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I mean, you see 5.5 wide receivers, well, got to keep in mind there's one less pick in that first round.
Yeah, so something that we will be keeping an eye on as well. Whenever those start to get posted, we will be the first to let you know, no doubt about it. Now join us here on the show. He's a VSiN contributor. You can find him on the Twitter machine at NotTheWillHill. Going to talk a little college basketball, some NBA, maybe even a little golf. Here it is, Will Hill. Will, how you doing, buddy?
Matt, what's going on? I feel like I'm in the middle of a primetime action reunion. Where is Danielle Alvari? We just get the whole band back together.
It is. I don't know. It's probably a little too early for Danielle. I mean, it's eight now.
She has done a few exceptions to come on this show, but I think her hard cutoff's 8:45. That's the earliest she's going.
Like, I'll come in on that last segment. I'm not going to come in any earlier than that, that's for sure. But
as somebody who's tried to make plans with Danielle, I can confirm it's not only too early, it's a couple hours too early. She's sound asleep right now.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think that we get a late, she stays up late, so, you know, sleeping a little bit, make sure that you're good to go for the day. Let's start in college basketball, Will, and I know you are looking at Indiana tonight.
I like Indiana. I like the way they've played. You know, I thought they were kind of a sleeper to make a run. They were like 50-1 a week or so ago. They've creeped up to like 30-1. I don't know if I'd still play it there, but to me, they've just played really well. They've won 8 out of 9. They're laying a couple of points at Northwestern. You can get them at a cheap minus 135 money line. And they lost to Northwestern early January, 5-6 weeks ago. They weren't playing well at the time. They're playing much better now. And if you just look at that first matchup, they lost by a point in Indiana. And it was just a math game. They put Northwestern on the free throw 28 times. They turned the ball over 17 times. You can't win a basketball game when you turn the ball over that many times and you put your opponent on the free throw line basically 30 times. So to me, Indiana's cleaned a lot of things up. A revenge spot here. I like Indiana. I think they get it done. And look, I don't like playing a lot of these long shots for NCAA tournament because I think you probably just get better numbers playing the money line, rolling it over. But to me, Indiana is a team that can make a run here.
Well, this is just more of your opinion here, but the Providence-Creighton game last night, really, really fun game. And I look at both of those teams, and they're just interesting enough where I'm like, maybe those teams could win a couple of games in the tournament. Like, if things kind of broke right, I mean, I don't know if maybe I'm seeing this just – I got caught up in the moment of how fun that game was last night. But what are your opinion on those two teams?
There's a whole bunch of teams that can win a couple of games, man. A lot of these teams, there's so much parity. I know it's been you know, heavily discussed how much parity there is. I think it's the truth. It's not like, I remember when we were kids, you know, growing up watching the sport, loving the sport. It's like any time a top one or two team in the country lost, it was like shocking. It was big news. Now it's just like every week, every few days, you know, one of these really good teams loses. So to me, there's a ton of teams that can make a run. That being said, I will say, you know, as much parity as there is, watching Kansas last night, we might be getting a repeat champion. Now, I've never been a huge Bill Self fan. I think he's a good coach. I always thought he's a little overrated just because he's had a lot of early tournament exits with good teams against inferior opponents. But, man, that Kansas team was good. I was on Oklahoma State last night, and, man, Kansas, they're good on offense. They're just basically unstoppable on offense. So it's a sport with a lot of parity, but I think Kansas might be emerging here as the favorites to go back-to-back. And I don't think we've had a back-to-back champion since, Florida in the mid-2000s. So I think Kansas, when the tournament you know, when the seedings are done here, which is less than a month away. It's, you know, with football going even further, the tournament just seems closer and closer every year once football ends. I think Kansas might be the favorite.
So sitting there at that number, because we were, you know, I think that the big talking point here really in the college basketball season is there hasn't been a dominant team. There hasn't been that one team that you look at and say like, oh man, it is certainly going to be them. And it's everyone else is going to be gunning for those guys. So now you can look down and say, hey, look, I mean, there is a double digit team that you like. And I think at this point, I mean, listen, 14-1 on a team right now, this far into the season that you think can win it all. I think that's a decent number, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you have an inkling on a team, you might as well pull the trigger because there's not that team that's just dominant that you can't beat. So should make for a fun tournament. I think it was, 2014 when it was UConn versus Kentucky in the finals, and it was like an 8-7, something crazy. We could be looking at one of these years where you get to the Final Four and it's all sorts of seeds all over the place where, you know, 6 seeds, 8 seeds, you never know. It's going to be one of those tournaments where anything's possible. Should be a lot of fun.
Talking to VSiN contributor Will Hill. You can find him on the Twitter machine, not the Will Hill. Let's take a look at the NBA tonight. I know you got 3 games that you're looking at. Let's start at 8 Eastern, Rockets and the Thunder. Right now, the Thunder are about 10.5-point home favorites, total sitting anywhere between 233.5 and 234.5. What are you looking at in this one?
You know, I've been betting the Thunder a lot, and why not? They're a profitable team, but I went to look at it today and laying 10.5. I'm not there with this team, but I do like this team in terms of their future. They're just so talented. They got all these picks coming, but 10.5 is too many. I do like the over. The Rockets don't seem to have any sort of interest in playing any defense. Every time they take the floor, it's 120+, it seems. The Thunder have a great shot diet. A lot of, you know, open threes, layups, free throws. They're really well coached. I like this team, so I think, you know, okay, maybe you just play an OKC team total over, but I think we'll see a lot of points. Maybe, you know, a couple days before the All-Star break, maybe these guys check out a little bit too. Maybe that's a little bit of a narrative here, but I do like the over. And to me, like last time these teams played, I think we got into the 270s. Some of these scores, the NBA are just crazy, but I did play the over. I think it's 234.5 here between the Rockets and the Thunder.
So let's go to 9:00 Eastern, Mavericks and the Nuggets. Nuggets are 4.5 to 5-point home favorites in this one. Total sitting anywhere 233 to 234 out there in the market. Looking at another total in this one.
Yeah, when Kyrie got traded to Dallas, I know everyone's thought went to futures for Dallas. You know, can they come out of the West? What's their number? To me, my first thought was their overs are going to be very profitable until the market catches up, because they're going to be just incredible, unstoppable on offense, and they are not good on defense at all. They had a first half against the Kings the other night where they forced 0 turnovers. They just can't stop anybody. They gave up 124 to Minnesota. You know, both their games soared way over with Luka and Kyrie together. So Luka and Kyrie, that's going to be a top of the league offense, probably the best offense in the league, but they cannot guard a soul with that backcourt. Even their bigs aren't good defensively. When Powell is your best big defensively, you're a really bad defense. So to me, this is going to be a track meet. Nuggets will get their points. To me, this game is going to be well into the 240s, maybe the 250s. I like the over this one. I'm going to be blindly betting the Mavs overs until I see otherwise.
Let's head to the last tip of the evening, 10:00 Eastern. We've got the Pelicans on the road at the Lakers. Lakers are 4.5-point home favorites. I guess there's a rogue 3.5 out there as well in favor of the Lakers. And then we have 234 and 234, 234.5, your prevailing total. You are going to play the dog here.
My guess is LeBron is playing. That's what this line suggests to me. But, man, yeah. I keep these Lakers lines keep looking inflated to me. They keep getting the benefit of the doubt. Like, Davis hasn't looked good, you know, laterally. Remember, before he got hurt, he was playing like an MVP candidate, like Superman, basically. He has not looked the same physically, just going side to side. He doesn't look fluid. To me, the Lakers just keep, you know, getting the benefit of the doubt, and I don't understand why. This Pelicans team is talented. Obviously, no Zion, and going forward, you know, you got to start to really wonder if Zion can ever stay on the court for an extended period of time. He's just always hurt. Ingram's always hurt. It's always something with the Pelicans. But to me, the Pelicans, Lakers, these are dead even teams. Probably the Pelicans are even a little more talented. Who knows if LeBron is playing for sure with that foot injury. You know, I like the pieces they've added. I think it was addition by subtraction, getting rid of Westbrook. So I like some of the things with the Lakers. But to me, they just continue to be overvalued here. So I'll take the points here with New Orleans.
Kelly, any latest there on LeBron?
Do we know? Well, it's funny. As I was trying to check this, because I'm seeing two different spots, one listing him as probable for the night on LeBron and one listing him as questionable. But he has been, regardless, he's been upgraded from not playing last game. So, you know, that's helpful.
Good deal, good deal. Well, we got about a minute left, but you are looking at a couple of guys at the Genesis this week. You don't have to talk me into Sam Burns, buddy. I play Sam Burns a lot. I love him. But what did you see in Adam Scott?
Yeah, you can't look at this course, this history, and not look at Adam Scott. He won it in 2020. He won it way back in 2005. He's got about 10 or 11 top 10, top 11 finishes, might be even more than that. So he's done really well here at the Riviera. Narrow fairways, you need that accuracy. So for whatever reason, Adam Scott has really excelled at this course. So you can get him 55-1, and 55-1 with that course history is enough for me. And again, Sam Burns, you and I are in the same boat. I'll be damned if Sam Burns is going to win it. I don't have a ticket on him. I basically have him every week. So that's more of a FOMO than a handicap, because I'm always on Burns. I'm allured by the talent. So I play Burns. I think he's in the 30-35-1 range.
Yes,
so
just one of the absolute elite talent scorers there is in all of golf. He is a VEASAN contributor for us. Find his great work over on VEASAN.com and on the mini programs here over on the Twitter machine at Not The Will Hill. Will, thanks for joining us, buddy.
All right. Good to see you, Matt. Bye, Kelly.
See you, Will. Buddy.
Hey, listen, man. We'll talk about, we're going to talk some Genesis here in a moment, as it is anyway. But
you would have laughed last week. Will was on last week and we were talking some golf after he was on. He texts me. He goes, what the hell is this number on Sam Burns? He's like, why am I not betting this? I'm like, well, I know Matt Brown agrees with you. That's for sure.
I mean, listen, you don't have to even talk me into Sam Burns. You just basically be like, hey, Sam Burns is teeing it up this week. And I'm like, sounds great. Sounds good to me. We are going to talk some Genesis here when we come back.
VSIN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSIN.com to check out the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets.
You got to know where that money's going, where the bets are moving. You got to go over there, DraftKings odds, every 10 minutes. Going to let you know where all the changes in the action are happening, where the public's betting, where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, just another way we're making you a more informed, better year-round over on VSIN.com. So check out those betting splits, VSIN.com.
Does this mess with your head when I yell the split?
No, I love it. I love it. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
I think there's a lot of longtime numbers game listeners that I think they think it's just me doing. No, this is a homage to Matt Brown from Primetime Action, because you started it just interrupting Gil.
It's fantastic. It's beautiful. And it would, for the first few times, it caught Gil off guard and just like what's this guy doing? You know, what's this fella doing?
That's the funniest part. I'm pretty sure the only reason we carried over to a numbers game is the first time that I sat in this chair doing this show with Gil, he started reading that and then like paused. And I was like, I guess I got to yell this here. Like, I think he's waiting for a yell.
He obviously was. I mean, those are things that carry on with everything. This is just getting off on a little bit of an aside here, but you know, just the stuff that weirdly catches on or something. So yesterday, I did not know sports betting Twitter also is going to like be united about. So I got groceries delivered yesterday.
I saw your tweet about this.
And listen, I think that the grocery delivery people think they're doing you a favor when they give you the green bananas.
You and I have had a conversation about this before. I agree with him. I think they are doing you a favor.
No. Well, they think, let's give him these bananas that are going to last until May. But like, I don't need bananas to last until May. I would like to eat them within the next couple of days, right? But like, these things are rock hard. You couldn't eat them if you tried. Seriously, you need a chainsaw to get inside of this thing. And so I'm like, have this batch of bananas I can't eat until April. And I was just like, who are you, savages that eat green bananas? I got more engagement off of this and more people saying, like, backing up the green banana stuff. Like, there were several who were like, yes, this is repulsive, which I also think is repulsive. But they were talking about, no, and giving me all the different reasons why the green bananas were superior to just, you know, yellow bananas, which we learned is the color the bananas are supposed to be as we grew up. It's just phenomenal to me that we have these people who are going out here taking jackhammers to these bananas to open them up or whatever. Like
it's what not it takes that to, bad. Yeah, you're ridiculous.
You need like a full on butcher knife to get into this. Yeah, thing.
I feel like you and I have had this crunchy, conversation like 2 years
crunchy,
ago.
They're crunchy. They're bitter. I just don't even get it. It doesn't taste like anything like a banana.
I like them. I like them on the slightly green side. I would definitely go slightly green over slightly brown.
Okay? Really?
Yes, because I don't want mushy banana. I want a banana. And when you start to go into the brown spotted bananas, you can get some mush factor there. I don't like that, man. I don't like that.
Okay. I mean, listen, I'm not going to argue with you. It's fine. I just don't. It doesn't taste like a banana, though. I mean, like it's like it's a completely different fruit. It's like a whole different fruit. It's not, isn't it?
I get it. The taste can rapidly change with a banana's aging. There's no doubt about that. I will say, I know it's going to be a surprise to a lot of, especially the viewers out there, but Matt and I do have different eating habits. So I don't mind buying it more on the green side because you know how many times I end up throwing out a rogue banana or two?
Really?
Where I'm like, oh, but you didn't make it. You got too brown. Sorry. See ya.
What you do is when it starts getting to that level, you take it out of the thing, chop it up, Ziploc, put it in the freezer. There you go.
Oh, I thought you were going to like be like my mother. She'd be like, make banana bread. And I'm like, yeah, because that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing all day.
You're not going to make banana bread. I'm just saying like you can save it for later. That's a good way to preserve it.
But in the freezer. All right.
No, come on, man. You ain't making no banana bread.
No, that ain't ever happening.
Yeah, I know you ain't making no banana bread. All right, so we got the Genesis Invitational, and this is heading over to Pacific Palisades, California, and we are going to get a pretty tough track here, Kelly. This is a par 71, and we have these POA greens that are going to be very fast, and they are going to be very tricky. This is a course that there are more putts missed inside of 5 feet than any of the courses on tour. Mm-hmm. It is the fourth most putts missed from 5 feet to 15 feet of any on tour. And so with that, you basically have to really and truly, and like we said, you and I, very rarely do we take putting into consideration. Putting comes and goes. Guys get hot for a tournament, then they go cold for a tournament, all the different things. But it does seem that there are guys who are just better POA putters than anything else. And it really does kind of carry over from event to event. And so for the first time, I'm not going to say for the first time this season because I did weigh it in last time we were on POA. But basically, for the very few times this season that I actually weigh putting, this is one of the bigger tournaments in which I did from a couple of different standpoints, not only POA putting, but just like three putt avoidance, all the different things like that. So I really did much more into the putting this week than normal.
Yeah, this is, unlike most golf tournaments out there, this is one I've actually had a winner on the past 2 years.
Oh.
It's like, I know, right? It's crazy when you actually look back at that and you're like, wow, that's that's amazing. I know you and I went a little bit different directions with our modeling this week. So I thought it was really fascinating. We recorded long shots last night. Go check that out. Get your
anywhere podcast or anywhere podcast can be found.
That's right. You'll hear Matt and I discuss the putting differences and our model differences a little bit more in depth. But it was one of those, as far as constructing my model, I didn't get a chance to say this on Long Shots yesterday, but as far as constructing my models yesterday, I don't know how much you do this, but going back, I always go back to look at what I did the year before, right? And that kind of gives me a sense of, okay, do I feel like there's anything I need to tweak that I want to tweak? And usually with almost every week, it ends up being more than I would guess, that I end up tweaking more from my model the year before than I would guess. And look, there's certain conditions, the field, all that stuff comes into play that you're going to have to change sometimes. Mm-hmm. This one I barely touched from what I had done in the past couple years. And doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong, but you get a couple winners home, right? You're like, how much do I really want to mess around with what I've been doing here at this course? So I focused a little bit less on the putting just because this is, like you were saying at the beginning, this course is tough and it is a true test everywhere, right? Around the green play is incredibly important this week. We have these super large green complexes, but if you don't get it on the green or the right tier of the green, that around the green play becomes incredibly important. Off the tee here, distance is big, but the narrow, narrow fairways, it makes it tough. And then greens in regulation. I mean, this is inside last year, 11 of the last 12 seasons ranked inside the top 10 toughest greens to hit in regulation here. So this is a true test everywhere. I didn't want to get too bogged down focusing on the putting side, but you're right. We've seen here in the past that putting matters.
It's a par 71, 7,322 yards, and it doesn't sound super long, but actually there are just some really long holes that makes this thing play really long. There's no water, so we're not having to worry about that this week at all, but there are very deep bunkers that basically are a penalty stroke once you get in them. They're just super, super hard to get up and down. Kikuyu in the rough. And now, listen, the thing about Kikuyu, it's a really weird grass. They only play on it a couple of different times a year. So, one, you don't get very much practice on it in the first place. And then, two, it typically isn't all that penal, but sometimes it'll sit down in it. A lot of times it sits up on top of it. But a lot of times, when it does sit down in it, it's a pretty sticky grass and can really make for some interesting balls that come out of the rough on those. These are massive greens. They average 7,500 square feet, which is just absolutely gigantic, which is another reason why we factored in kind of this bogey avoidance, three-putt avoidance, stuff like that, because, yeah, you can hit greens, but, I mean, if you're a million miles away, it doesn't really matter, exactly. Right? You got to be able to lag putt.
That part of it, I think, is extremely important.
Yeah.
I might have just been talking about it. I didn't look heavily at putting. Mm. Three-putt avoidance, though, I think is massive this week, is if you can be a good lag putter this week, that's going to be huge. Mm-hmm.
If you talk about the fairways, Kelly mentioned them being very narrow. They are. They're 27 yards wide. They're the fifth narrowest on tour. They have the fifth lowest driving accuracy rate as well on tour. Now, 75% of approach shots come from longer than 150 yards, so you're going to want to look at guys that are pretty good from that 150 to 200-ish range. Greens are missed at a 44% clip, and so, again, it's one of those things where I really did prioritize around the green and scrambling because we are looking at greens that don't get hit very often as it is anyway. And we talk about just these deals. Once you do get on the greens as it is, they're really, really hard to hit. And so that is kind of the breakdown here. And again, these are things that you can go in as you build your own models and try and figure out. Kelly, we only have a minute left. We'll come back with our picks on the other side here. But I do want to say, in the newsletter this morning, you, Wes, and I all had kind of our three things that we've taken from the golf betting season so far as we move into really the golf betting season that everyone's going to be focusing on now that NFL is over. And I think we all kind of hit on the same thing, which is the top of the leaderboard is going to be very, very short odds on those guys, and it's probably rightfully so. They have such incredibly high win equity that you look at Rahm, you look at Scheffler, you look at Rory, and we are just going to have to get creative with the way we bet these tournaments.
Yep, whether it's just accepting you're going to bet less outrights and betting those kind of guys, or if it's looking at group matchups or matchup plays or whatever, I think it is something you have to keep in mind, at least at this point in the golf season.
We'll run through how our models look and, of course, all of our outright picks, any placement market bets we have, and I do have some head-to-head matchups that I have in the account this week as well that I feel pretty good about all at plus money, except for one, and that's against the big guy in the tournament. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of just $9.99 American, and VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. You get our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, our betting guides for the biggest game of the season. Also, over there, you're going to get our best bets and the daily props as well. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. It is VSiN.com/subscribe for this introductory offer of just $9.99. That is VSIN.com/subscribe. Hopefully our Canadian friends didn't mess around yesterday, because it's 1340 Canadian today. It was 1332 yesterday, 1340 Canadian today. It's going to cost you 8 more Canadian pennies. Shouldn't have waited around. Don't wait around. It might cost you 8 more Canadian pennies tomorrow too.
That's right.
We're trying to save you money around here. That's what we're doing.
You never know.
So I'm trying to help out. All right, so we didn't get to our picks. And basically, you know, look, from a modeling standpoint, we tend to put approach pretty high every single week. That being said, for me, I went a little different this week. I prioritized driving distance and around the green. with about the same weight as I did even from an approach game, and driving distance actually a little bit further, just a little bit more on around the green, and then the approach game. Because like I said, you don't hit these greens anyway, right? Like it's like people don't hit these greens anyway. They don't hold. They're fast. They're going to get dry. It's all this. So it's just one of those things where I want guys that are going to be further down the fairway, and like if they're playing from the rough anyway, because as we mentioned, very narrow fairways, there's roll off because of the undulations and things like that. You just play from that first cut of rough so often as it is anyway. I'd rather my guy just be further down there
and
playing in than anything else. And so I went about it a little bit differently. I didn't prioritize, you know, accuracy and all that this week, which I know some people out there did. So I'm, you know, there are different ways to skin this cat, I think. And with the modeling, really, Kelly, I mean, we talked about the putting stuff earlier that I plugged in, and the only other stuff outside of that, I did put in some sand save stuff as well, just to see these guys that do excel in that at least a little bit more, because again, there are no water holes here, so we don't have to worry about the traditional type of penalty strokes. But what we do have to worry about is getting in these bunkers and then not being able to get out of these bunkers, or, you know, not being able to put it anywhere near where you want to go out of these bunkers. So I don't know if you prioritized any sand save stuff in there, but I did this.
I did a little bit. Heavy around the green, and pretty heavy off the tee as well. I kind of split distance and accuracy stuff. But also, you know, in the same time, always kind of having the back of my head to look at those guys that I wanted to see what the model spit out, and then also know that kind of look at those guys that I do think are going to hit it. I don't want to say that I have to be a complete bomber, but any guy who hits further helps here, right? So, I mean, you know, breaking news, hitting the ball further in golf helps.
Right. Yeah, honestly, yes, I know.
I still went pretty heavy on the approach. And then those proximity distances you brought up, 150 to 200 yards. Look, you can't. It's one of those when you go years worth of data and you're coming up with the 75%? Is that what it was? Of approach shots coming in from 150 to 200? That's or over 150 is what it was. I mean, it's just stuff you really can't argue with, because that's coming from all different types of players too. So I think that is a range you got to focus on. And then look, strokes gained par five in an event like this that you know is going to be tough. I always weigh that a little heavier, because I'm like, you got to make birdies on these fives. You got to make birdies on these fives, or else you're probably not going to be around, in contention on Sunday. So, you know, that's kind of where mine went. I think, you know, I'll bring up what I brought up on Long Shots yesterday. I think it's fair to
wherever, you know, your podcast can be found.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And please interject here if I'm wrong. But Rory, Finau, Scheffler, Rahm, Schauffele, did any of those five guys were not in the top 10 of your models?
It was pretty consistent across all of this, though. I think for me, the one thing we did find out over on Long Shots, and again, that's VSiN.com/longshots. You can get Wes's thoughts as well to go along with all this on VSiN.com if you're a pro subscriber, the written form of
including his plays on the DP World Tour.
Yes, including his Around the World plays
Worldwide West, including guys I've never even heard of. Yes, so, yeah, that's what you get from
there. Is that. I think the thing that mine spit out just a little bit more than y'all's was, you know, Finau actually was the real kind of winner in all of these models. Now, Rory is going to be up there. Rahm's going to be – all the real big-name guys are going to be up there, but really Tony Finau was the guy that stood out to me from a betting standpoint, and again, the first guy on my card. I have an 18-1 on Tony Finau this week. If you look at basically what he's been able to do, Kelly, you and I mentioned that, you know, if you've been listening to us talk golf anytime over the last couple of years, we loved Finau. The problem was is Finau's win equity was just garbage, and we didn't want to play him because the dude just didn't win, and so we didn't want to waste our money. Well, he kind of broke through, and since breaking through, you can look back to that 3M Open win that was back in July of 2022. And then he had the back-to-back win, right? He wins at Rocket Mortgage. Then a T5 at St. Jude. T28, ninth place. He wins the President's Cup. Then there's a first in the Houston Bank, a seventh in the Hero, a T7 in the Century, T16, T9, T14. Even this past week, a T14 for him, despite the fact that he lost two strokes putting. And so he's that guy now, right? And I think he's that dude And 18-1 was the shortest shot that I got on my card. Max Homa at 24-1, a guy that really did pop in all the models, loves California golf, has had success on this course as well. So I'm going to play that. Sungjae Im is another guy that I just think the number had drifted way too far on. Now, the numbers come back to earth a little bit. I got 33-1. You're now finding more in that 28-27-1. I still don't think it's egregious if you did want to play Sungjae Im there. Hideki Matsuyama at 40-1. I think you can find him still pretty close to that number out there. Here's the thing about Hideki. He was playing very bad for a while, and he's playing very bad for a while because he was hurt. And he's now – but he was very upfront with us about being hurt, Kelly. Yep. He would tell us that he was going in these tournaments hurt, and that's why we were betting against him left and right. And then now he's not hurt, and he's playing much, much better. The only thing that held him back this past week, his iron play was a little bit off, but that is typically what he excels in. He's actually gained 8 straight tournaments with the putter, which is what used to be one of the things we hated about Hideki. And 3 long shots – Wyndham Clark, Shane Lowry, Adrian Meronk, all 3 dudes that were really just where they ended up in my model didn't match where they were kind of from an odd standpoint. Top 10s on Ricky Fowler and Jason Day, I believe that they are actually back. Shane Lowry, plus 115 over Seamus Power. Hideki, plus 105 over Matt Fitzpatrick, who I think is still hurt. Ricky Fowler, plus 120 over Will Zalatoris, same deal, who I think is still hurt. And then Luke Donald, minus 135 over Tiger Woods. I just needed to get some exposure to Fade and Tiger. The miss the cut number had ballooned way too much for me, so I couldn't get there.
I actually did. I'll start right there on my card. Mm-hmm. I actually did end up betting that. I didn't bet it huge.
Yeah.
But I bet the miss the cut, minus 205, I thought was still – when I saw that number going crazy other places, and I don't really know. I guess I don't even know what it's at right now.
Yeah.
Have to check here in a sec. Minus 205, I thought was still at least worth a bet. I mean, this guy hasn't – what I think it would be today, he's going to walk his first full 18 holes at golf. And he hasn't done it for 72 holes. So, I – look, man, like we talked about yesterday, it's one of those if he misses, we cash a bet, and if he makes the cut, we're not opposed to rooting.
I will be happy to lose the bet. Like, honestly, it would be his first bet in a long time. I'd be super happy to lose, but, yeah, betting against Tiger, if I lose that one, I feel good.
Yeah. Run through the outrights quick. I mean, Finau and Sungjae, look, I had Sungjae last week. Finau was a guy I was on last week. I don't disagree with either one of those bets. I think they're both good bets, especially Finau, obviously, with his course history here has been incredible. What he's done recently has been incredible. And Sungjae, I agree with you. That number's getting a little out of control. I didn't play either of those guys this week, but I'm back on Xander Schauffele this week. Was on him last week. This guy just continues to perform well here week in and week out, seemingly on the tour. Much like Finau, just doesn't have those all those wins yet, hopefully. But even over the past, 5 years here at this tournament, T13, T15, T23, T15, T9 for Xander. So on him outright, Max Homa, you and I completely agree with it. Even at 24, still don't think this number has caught up to where he should be at for this tournament. Another guy who's had great success here 1-2 years ago at this tournament. Patrick Cantlay, really just more of a numbers play for me. We're seeing still a guy that I think is one of the better golfers in the world drift to that range after, a couple bad tournaments, 30-1, was worth a smaller bet for me. And then a couple long shots, Siwoo Kim, 110-1, who did pop, he was 10th in my last 24-round model. Love what he's been doing, actually, around the green and scrambling lately, add on with his approach play. Just the driver's going to have to be consistent for him this week. But if he can get that done, I think he's got a good chance this week. So that and then Shane Lowry, who I was up there with, but then you kind of talked me into last night as well. Placement markets real quick. Siwoo Kim, top 10 and top 40. Top 20s on Xander, Finau, Homa, Day, and Wyndham Clark. A top 40 on Hayden Buckley. Tournament matchups, Homa over Morikawa, Wyndham Clark over Taylor Montgomery, Shane Lowry over Seamus Power, Tiger Woods miss a cut. First round leaders, Siwoo Kim, Keith Mitchell, Brendan Steele.
The Dolphins have themselves a defensive coordinator. We will talk about that when we come back, as well as a tweet from Juju Smith-Schuster. Fair or foul?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention BetMGM customers, if you have a friend that loves sports as much as you do, here's a chance For both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program, just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program, send your friend a message inviting them to register for a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus, the wager is settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM. Get a $50 bonus when you get to your friend to place that wager. Over at BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, must be 21 years or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet. Bonus bets expire after 30 days. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and in Nevada.
Okay. Yeah, see what I tell everybody on this one,
it's Matt. Okay, the app works.
That's right. The app works, yes. Yeah. And the, okay. The app Will works. Will Hill's Twitter handle could never be more appropriate than today. But yeah,
I saw people going after him.
Are you serious?
As a joke. As a joke. Like, hey, bro, can you get your app working around here? Like, whatever. And he just having to write back, like, working on it. You know, but it was, as a joke. People were jokingly going after him.
Oh, that's great. As a reminder how this Refer a Friend works, yes. If you come in town with a friend, you meet up with Gil Alexander at an MGM sportsbook. He'll meet you anywhere in town. You bring a friend. You get the $50, and then you go buy me a drink at the bar.
There you
go. That's
have
how
it.
This works. Yep.
There we go. So we do have some news as we've been on air. Vic Fangio has been named the defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins. So Fangio will take over, I imagine, with a pretty lucrative contract there for the Dolphins. We know the Dolphins had a defense that was kind of up and down all season long. I think Fangio will bring some stability to a defense that I think does have some upside. As we head into the season next year, Kelly, the only thing here, people are going to look at this and say, like, ah, and they're going to laugh about Fangio. There are guys who are just better suited to be coordinators than they are to be head coaches. Mm-hmm. We've seen it multiple different times. We know some guys can handle the one side of the ball thing, and they handle it very, very well. I don't think everyone totally realizes what all it entails to be a head coach. You really are kind of like a CEO of the everything, and so it just doesn't suit some people. So I think this is a great hire. Fangio, a proven guy in the NFL. It's a reason he got the head coaching job in the first place. And now he's going back to where he's much more suited and to a team in the Dolphins that may be on the up and up. We know that there's still some question marks around Tua and whether that – I don't even want to go there, like, as to whether I believe he should even play football anymore or not. It's just every time he takes a snap, it frightens me. But, like, we'll just stick to what we do know, and that is that he is – likely to play this coming season, and they do have some talent on that team. So Vic Fangio heading to the Dolphins.
I failed as a producer today. I should have had a nice leaving the Eagles package prepared for Fangio. It was quite a run he had with them. I don't know what your favorite moment was of his 2-week career with the Philadelphia Eagles, but
you know, almost got a Super Bowl ring.
That was the greatest story of those 2 weeks. It was like, wait a second, you can do this? Like, did we all know you could do this every year? Okay.
So do want to get into something that is completely non-sports betting related, but it's just a really good sports story. And Kelly, hey, we're going to talk about it because we have Juju Smith-Schuster coming out. And listen, I thought everyone handled things fairly well, right? And then Juju yesterday, because it was Valentine's Day, sends this thing, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And it's a picture. Obviously, it's a picture of James Bradbury that says, I'll hold you when it matters most. And so this is sent from Juju Smith-Schuster. AJ Brown comes back with, first off, congratulations. Y'all deserve it. But he says, this is lame. You was on the way out of the league before Mahomes resurrected your career on a 1-year deal, TikTok boy. He admitted that he grabbed, but you don't act like that he ever was, but congratulations again. Or so AJ Brown's like, hey, congratulations, but also remember that you're on a 1-year, $3 million deal because nobody wanted you anymore. And now you're sitting here like clapping at an all pro in James Bradbury. So again, I thought that AJ Brown did pretty well. Like he, not only did he come back with facts, which was you were kind of on your way out of the league and like the last team grabbed you because they needed wide receiver help so badly. But as you pointed out on break, the best part is before you was on your way out of the league before Mahomes resurrected your career on a 1-year deal, TikTok boy.
TikTok boy.
Like that is the absolute best because that is also throwing a little shade because if you remember, there were rumors out of the locker room when he was in Pittsburgh – that Mike Tomlin, a couple of the other older veterans and all that, had a problem with the fact that it seemed like when he wasn't actually practicing, all he was doing was creating TikTok videos and caring about his social media as opposed to, you know, watching film and doing all the things to try to become a better player.
He was doing stuff like pregame or something too, right?
Yes, in locker rooms and all the different things like that.
This was pretty – it is funny because one of my biggest takeaways from the Super Bowl was how amazingly well the Eagles, I thought, handled everything afterward. Like – almost too well, right? Like, I almost want to see smack talk like this a little bit, right? Like, they were so respectful and
fair or foul the tweet, though, by Juju. What do you think? So how about this? Let me give you three
it's
options.
Fair.
Let me give you three options.
It's a terrible dad joke, but whatever.
Fair, foul, or just too soon?
Fair.
It's
fair.
So you think it's just fair. I actually fall in the too soon category.
It's not funny, though. It's not even – it's not that good.
I just fall in the too soon category where I'm kind of like, I don't think it's egregious or whatever, but, like, we're less than a 3 days removed from losing the Super Bowl and on a ticky-tack. And as you mentioned, a call in which the guy handled it about as well as a human being can possibly handle it. So it's kind of like, let's give him a month to, like, you know, at least let him come after him, like, 3 days later. You know, with something like this. So mine's more just a little too soon.
It's the internet, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's anything, that we're allowed to say is foul on Twitter. You see the tweets that people send out every day?
This is true.
I think it's fair what Juju tweeted. You know, I wouldn't have done it, right? I'll put it that way. And then I don't think you could really get upset when A.J. Brown then had to say back to him. So I think both are fair. I like that A.J. Brown did, like, the very well-structured compliment sandwich, right? It was like the congratulations, here's where I rip you in the middle, and then congratulations again at the end. So, yeah, that was my favorite part of it.
You want some news here that, again, I mean, it's one NFL source, but an NFL source nonetheless.
What you got?
Jason LaCanfora. More than one NFL general manager came away from the Senior Bowl fairly convinced that Justin Fields will be dealt.
Okay.
Well, that would change things up quite a bit.
Okay. I mean, look, I think it's something that's surprising. It's something I've had in the back of my head, like, could this happen? But, I mean, for it to happen means that the Bears are in love with one of these quarterbacks.
Right. Yes. That means 100%, that they have locked in on a guy that they truly, truly, truly believe is like your franchise guy. Now, listen, people are going to say, yeah, but Justin Fields really played well towards the end of the year. Look, Justin Fields ran well towards the end of the year. He turned into a Jalen Hurts on steroids type deal. I mean, they were just calling a million quarterback designed runs over and over and over and over again. And he was very successful doing those. But as a passer, he didn't really take any steps forward as a passer. And so that is interesting. Now, I can only see LaCanfora as one who is reporting this or whatever, but very interesting nonetheless. And certainly something that, like we said, we need a chip to fall before we can feel super confident in really getting into the draft betting season in earnest. And so either that chip is them trading that pick or it's trading Justin Fields.
Well, it's one of those, look, we love betting the NFL draft, Matt, because why? Because it's not necessarily that you and I are college football experts, scouting experts
at
all.
It's actually the complete opposite of that. We're not trying to do that.
You doing what you just did. So, look, what can we take away from this? And pro tip of the hour, I guess, is, look, if you start to see more reports like this and this becomes something you believe in, then you throw that first quarterback drafted prop out the window and you just focus in on top overall pick.
Yeah.
Because the only way Chicago's moving on from Fields is they are in love. With Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Billy Levi's, whatever.
Yes, you can throw away any thought at all that they are never spending the number one pick on a defensive guy. Like, it's just not happening. So this is super, super interesting. And, of course, this will be something that we will monitor here. Just one guy reporting it. But, listen, Jason LaCanfora's got sources, right? I mean, he is definitely a dude that can that can get some news every now and then that is applicable to stuff that you and I do, right?
That we will be looking at. Great NFL report. On our way out, Matt, I do have one NBA bet tonight. This is kind of a throwback. I love that you're on the show for it. Jalen Green over his points prop tonight, over 23 and a half.
Yeah, boy.
Here's his field goal attempts the past five games, 20, 19, 22, and 21. The Rockets are in just chuck it up mode once again, over points prop on Jalen Green tonight.
Love it. If you missed any of our golf picks, you can go in long shots at VSiN.com/podcast. Stick around for the Lombardi Line.